you don't get questions.
Our next speaker is Megan Brown from Kansas State University. She's going to talk about the evaluation of the Kansas Phosphorus Index with SEEP National Assessment Data.
Going right into this, our justification for this project came from NRCS's request to SARA 17 for 590 recommendations, particularly those doing with P-index use and validation. From that, we wanted to learn to evaluate P-index by comparing it to the index rating to the P-loss. Where possible, to use measured runoff data, and where not possible, to try to use model estimates of P-loss. Our second justification came from Western Kansas producers and consultants, where it's very dry. They have concerns that the phosphorus index is not properly working to estimate phosphorus loss out there. As you can see, in Kansas, we have a very wide precipitation gradient. In the western portion of it, it can be less than 20 inches, all the way to the eastern portion that can be above 40 inches. Our objectives was to evaluate the Kansas Phosphorus Index by comparing it to independently modeled phosphorus loss estimates. We wanted to determine if the P-index correlates with phosphorus losses at all, and we wanted to discover if there was any regional bias in the P-index. Our secondary objective, we'll talk about it more in a minute, is the SEEP national assessment data actually appropriate for P-index evaluation? All right, of course, we use the Conservation Effects Assessment Project. In Kansas, there's 990 NRI points. Out of those 990 points, 28 of those were actually manure-applied fields. From there, the APEX model was used by NRCS. They estimated P-loss for each one of those points using the management and soils that were given. However, they didn't have soil test phosphorus, so that was something that was estimated. Out of the 47 years of data, the first 17 years were used as a warm-up, and the actual next 30 were what was used in our project. Okay, of course, our second tool is the Kansas Phosphorus Index. It's a multiplicative index, which is simply the sum of the source factors times the sum of the transport factors. Our source factors include soil test phosphorus, P application rate, P fertilizer, application method, rate, and timing. Our transport factors are erosion, runoff class, how close it is to surface water, and furrow and sprinkler irrigation and runoff. From that, it gave us our overall rating here. We have our P-index rating versus our estimated phosphorus loss. As you can see, there is some correlation, but it's not particularly strong. From there, we decided to take a look at our outliers. Those outliers seem to be driving our R-squared a little bit. Those outliers are typically manure application fields or fields that are in close proximity to a stream body. Those are really driving up the P-index rating. So for our purposes, we decided to get rid of those. Okay, so we went back to our Kansas Phosphorus Index and tried to figure out any way that we can improve the correlation. There have been complaints about runoff class being used, so we went back to that and we did this. And this is our runoff classification versus runoff from the APEX model data. As you can see, our runoff classification in Kansas, or actually from the NRCS, is measured generally by hydraulic conductivity and the distance to the most permeable or the most restrictive layer. As you can see, there is some relationship, but it's very, very variable. If you notice, we have some areas that have a very high classification but actually have zero to no runoff. So we decided to remove runoff class and see what we got. We have the same graph here, estimated phosphorus loss versus the P-index rating. As you can see in green, when we remove the runoff class, it does slightly improve the correlation. From there, we wanted to see if we had a regional bias. Also, if we wanted to see if we can improve the correlation at all by doing this. This is our far western part of the state that we talked about earlier that's very dry. As you can see, we have very little phosphorus loss, but actually some high P-index ratings. And if you'll notice, this axis is a little off. That is because across the state, we're going to have P-losses that go up into this higher range. Do you see the same thing in this other western area? Moving on to our central area, as you can see, gets a little bit different. The P-losses get a little bit higher, or the estimated P-losses get a little bit higher. From there, you can see that sometimes when we take out our runoff class, it does improve our correlation. In this bottom graph here, this is actually our area that had the highest correlation out of everywhere. That could be due to the fact that this is the area where Kansas State University is located. I'm not sure if that plays a role in it or not. So this is our far east area, by far our wettest area of Kansas. As you can see, there's pretty poor correlation in this area as well, but it does improve when we take out runoff class. So from there, we went back to the Kansas Phosphorus Index. We wanted to see what was maybe driving the phosphorus loss in this model based on these factors. We did a multiple regression analysis, and we learned that 65% of our phosphorus loss was coming from the erosion, followed by fertilizer rate and soil test phosphorus. What else we learned here is that the model doesn't seem to be sensitive at all to things like application rate, timing, or methods. So from that, we have our summary recommendations. We learned that removing runoff class improved our correlation, that we do have regional bias in the Kansas Phosphorus Index. The APEX model from the output from the SEEK National Assessment doesn't seem to be sensitive to all factors in the Kansas Index, those factors that we talked about, such as application rate and timing and method. The APEX model, from our suggestions, should be further evaluated and calibrated for phosphorus loss. If that model was calibrated for phosphorus loss, we might have better confidence in it for measuring it against the Kansas Phosphorus Index. Any questions?
So if the NRI data is looked at the soil test data, could you explain again how you got the soil test data?
It had estimated soil tests. And it estimated those soil tests off of past application rates and methods.
Okay. We have time for several questions. Carl?
So, not expected that you saw a better improvement in the actual runoff as opposed to the straight time analysis.
You know, I'm not entirely certain. I didn't go too far into that. But definitely precipitation should probably play some sort of role, whether it's, you know, like you said, a runoff curve number or something along those lines. But I'm not sure how to factor that into our P index. The NRCS did that, the modeling lab.
Okay, so they just provide all the data that you need then to feed into the index?
Yes, exactly. We ran the index and then compared them. Can you repeat the question? I can barely hear you. I'm sorry.
You showed a correlation between values and the different components, different input factors to the index.
The multiple regression, yeah.
Yeah. Were you correlating that to the index output, as like the sensitivity, or were you correlating that with your NRI data?
That was where the P index input. So that's what, I mean, we tried... from what I understand, what we did was we tried to see what factors in the P index would be driving if we tried to make it even, basically. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay. But outside of that, I mean, I don't know how to quite describe it, but we wanted to see what would need to change in order to make the P index match the actual multiple P losses.
So
So we use the P-index inputs.
Yep. That's interesting that your line of demarcation for dry cans is about 25 inches. Is that about square root?
25 inches? Oh, for...
750 mil.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Did you consider wind erosion on the dryer parts as part of the erosion inputs?
No. It was just water erosion. Yes, as far as I know, there's no inputs for wind erosion. It's just Russell, typically, that's used in that.
Can we take one or two more questions? We can let Megan off the hook.